This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not.
The message of the prophet Amos was lost on ancient Israel, but it should not be lost on us. And Dr. Wyatt declares, woe to you who are at ease.
Thank you, Dennis. We are beginning a little journey through the minor prophets, or the Book of the 12. The readings by Sharon are from the Book of Amos, and we will learn that one should not be at ease when it comes to God's expectation for we, his children.
Amaziah the high priest said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary. And Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Thus says the Lord, your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be parceled out, and you shall die in an unclean land, and Israel will surely go into exile, away from its land. Hear this, you who trample upon the needy, and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the Sabbath end, that we may make a bushel of wheat small and the shekel great, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals? Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who dwells in it? Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria.
Thank you, Sharon, very much. The selections from this Book of Amos Sharon has read is to provide us with a feel, a sense of what was the message of this mid-8th century prophet. It seems likely that what we have here in Amos was delivered within no more than a single year. He was from Tekoa, a small town about 10 miles south of Jerusalem in Judea. But he brought his message to the northern kingdom of Israel, to Samaria, and the shrines of Bethel and Gilgal. The prophetic word of Amos would burst upon the nation of Israel like a lion's roar. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherd dry up. Even the top of Carmel will wither. This is how Amos begins his oracles. And in defending his word, he declares, the lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who but can prophesy? It does remind one of Paul's declaration, necessity is laid upon me, woe to me if I preach not the gospel. And Amos, in his own necessity, uses every literary device possible, with the volume turned all the way up. All are accountable for their evil and malicious deeds, every nation, as Amos will note them all. For three transgressions and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, says the Lord. And Amos furnishes the parade of nations, Damascus, Philistia, Phoenicia, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and Judah with Israel. For they sell the righteous for silver, the needy for a pair of shoes, trample the heads of the poor into the dust, and obstruct the hopes of the afflicted. His words are strong, harsh, and uncomfortable. Amos will say they have perverted justice, practiced perversion, raised punitive taxes, and that to maintain an extravagant lifestyle at the expense of the poor. Of course they have ignored the clear admonitions of Moses. While they would appear pious and spiritual, their faith is a sham, a false facade. Of course we're speaking of ancient Samaria, are we not? Or is it too close for comfort, as well as a timeless message? As Amos relates, they do not know how to do right, says the Lord. And as a result, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary shall surround the land, and bring down your defenses, and your fortifications shall be plundered, unquote. God has declared that those who have sought only plenty and pleasure will see it all stolen, their comfort no more, their places of worship annihilated, and the people imprisoned, murdered, or exiled. They will be taken away with hooks, unquote, says the Lord. All because, as Amos will relate repeatedly, because yet you did not return to me. Despite famine, withholding the rain, blight, pestilence, after the manner of Egypt, all this and more God will do to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel, unquote. They had forgotten who God is, he who formed the mountains, creates the wind and declares to man his own thoughts, who makes the darkness before the dawn, unquote. You are to seek him and live, not seek Bethel or Gilgal, those sanctuaries of Israel. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire and devour with none to quench it, unquote. It is he who made the constellations in the heavens, darkens the day into night, calls for the water of the sea and pours them out upon the surface of the earth. The Lord is his name, unquote. So Amos says, seek good and not evil, that you may live. Hate evil and love good and establish justice in the gate, unquote. This is where justice is to be found in those days. We would say, let there be justice in our courts. Then it might be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph, meaning Israel. Even Amos among the prophets, with his constant repetition of God's word, that he will not revoke his punishments, offers the possibility that even yet God may be gracious. Yet in this situation, the outlook is not good for those who lie upon beds of ivory, who stretch out upon their cushions, who sing idle songs to the harp, who drink wine in large bowls, anoint themselves with expensive perfumes, but do not grieve over the nation's ruin. They shall be first of those who go into exile, unquote. The fantasy of invincibility is a myth, and they have completely misunderstood what it means to be chosen of God. Material wealth, military strength, the ease of life, of comfort and well-being, pride in self-satisfaction can disappear with the wind. Your whole approach to life, Amos says, and especially to God, is wrong. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if men fled from a lion only to meet a bear. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, with no brightness in it? Unquote. In other words, you think the day of the Lord is deliverance, but woe to you, it is judgment. Their worship of him is abhorrent to God. For as he says, I hate and despise your feast. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me burnt offerings and cereal offerings, I will not accept them. Your peace offerings I will not look upon. Take away the noise of your songs, the melody of your harps, I will not hear. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness be a stream that never runs dry, unquote. Amos has reached his pinnacle. His words are melodic, like a drum, words that disrupt a nation that has no fruit. As we heard last week, that is why Jonah's words to Nineveh are so unique, for they were heard and heeded. God's words, his warnings to a nation, must be heard, and the proper action engaged. It has always been so, for we even hear them from the Baptist as he says to those in power, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit that befits repentance, and do not even start to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham." Unquote. It is indeed the same message. Samaria saw themselves as blessed materially, militarily, even spiritually, but it was not true. The Lord God has sworn, "I abhor the pride of Jacob, hate his fortresses, and I will deliver up the city and all that is in it." Unquote. In their own eyes, they had exalted themselves and no longer sought God's face, nor did they feel dependent upon him. God became a benign, comfortable caretaker, if they thought of him at all. Did they understand that as the people of God, there was an imperative to live for him, to uphold their end of the covenant relationship? They, as all, must hear the word of the Lord. Amos's words indicate a people who have not just rejected, but denied their vocation as God's people. To Amos, it is the height of absurdity, for they cannot know what it means. It is in his words like running horses over rocks or plowing the sea with oxen. It is silly, turning justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood. Such words will have an effect on the priest Amaziah, who will tell Amos that the land is not able to bear his word. So Amaziah tells Amos, "O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, eat bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy in Bethel." Unquote. Amos's response is classic and telling. "I am no prophet, nor son of the prophet," meaning the schools of prophets. "I am a herdsman, a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flocks, and the Lord said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.'" And then he turns to Amaziah, "Hear the word of the Lord. You say, 'Do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac.' Therefore, thus saith the Lord." And what follows is God's judgment upon this fool, upon his wife and children, and that he will die in an unclean land. Unquote. A pagan polluted land in exile. The house of Jacob will be destroyed utterly. Yet God's word never ends simply in judgment. For his book closes with a marvelous promise, that in that day I will raise up the booth of David that has fallen, and repair its breaches, raise its ruins, and rebuild it as in the days of old. Behold, the days are coming, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows the seeds. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel. I will plant them upon their lands, says the Lord your God. Unquote. It is another of those marvelous moments of prophetic glory, of a prophet reaching beyond himself and his time. What Amos is referring to is that when judgment at last has run its course, it is here the faithfulness of Yahweh is affirmed and Israel's future reassured. That which has fallen, no more to be raised up again, now God will raise up the booth of David. And we are to lift our eyes to an even more distant future. It is David's booth, what was a simple single tent protecting the Ark of the Covenant, brought from the house of Obed-Edom to what is now called the City of David. It signals a sincere worship and a clear dependence on God. It is to be an invigorated spiritual life of God's people, a return to the protection, provision, and power, recapturing that time when they worshiped before the booth David had erected for the Ark of the Covenant, when all could worship before God's presence without the veil covering the Ark, before the temple was ever built, limiting people's access, at least symbolically. It is God that raises it up, rebuilds and repairs. Here is the hope of the future, of the promise of the early glory of David's kingdom, now raised up and empowered. And this is to be by God's doing. This all does not escape James, the Lord's brother, as the early church leaders met at Jerusalem. James will use the Greek Old Testament, what we call the Septuagint, which amplifies the universal outlook of this passage, that in this Davidic restoration, there is to be a powerful and simple return to a true worship and relationship with God, that as James says, the rest of men may seek the Lord, and all Gentiles who are called by my name, unquote. That the burgeoning Christian church will in Christ Jesus fulfill what Amos has prophesied, and all nations shall come to Zion. There will be more. We will continue to hear it in these smaller prophetic works, that we cannot presume upon God, that we cannot ignore His word, nor our vocation as God's people, or live as the world without suffering some kind of consequence. We are truly blessed, but there is a reason. Men and women of faith have struggled, fought, and died that we, the people of the book, people rooted in and blessed by our Christian faith, not be as those who do not know who made the stars and makes the rain to fall, not be those who believe their own cleverness, prowess, and ability has made all of this possible. What hubris, how dangerous and idolatrous. It is the worship of ourselves with obviously no concern for the consequences of such a false worship. Behold, the days are coming, so woe to those who are at ease. We are to understand our calling and our place in God, and be at work always at what God has called us to do. O Lord, let us hear the words of Amos, that we cannot take for granted what you have blessed us with, for we must give you the glory, must give you the true worship that you deserve, and that justice might flow down like water. For indeed thy kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, and thy glory will fill the earth. Let it be so, all in the name of the beloved Son, Jesus. Amen and amen.
And Amos's message should not be lost on us today. It was lost on the ancient nation of Israel to their demise. There is no period of time or generation that goes without a divine warning of our unrighteousness. God never leaves us without His word of blessing or His word of warning. That is why Thomas is offering this week his book, Global Warning. Here is scripturally and briefly laid out the warning that we too will be judged. So you need to read this book, and it can be yours at no charge. Just write to us and ask for Global Warning. We cannot begin to tell you how much we appreciate all of the many friends of this worldwide ministry. Your prayers and, of course, your gifts make this ministry possible. You are a beautiful blessing to us, and you mean so much to the Wings of Healing. And we pray you will continue to remember the work we are doing. The radio broadcasts, our many foreign outreaches, our music, and the literature that is made available worldwide. With your help and with God, all these things are made possible. So, dear ones, please do write. Let us hear from you. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. I am enjoying this time in this much-ignored, overlooked part of our scriptures. We need the whole counsel of God, as this from Sandra of Montreal writes,
Dr. Wyatt, I have asked for your prayers, and you have encouraged me in so many ways, and I have learned that the problem is not other people, it's me, and my lack of trust in God, and the strength His Word now has enabled me to really reorder my life. It is truly amazing what God can do if you let Him, and you act on His Word. This is so true, Sandra. And if you need help, do write. Dennis will give our addresses once again at the close of the broadcast. But now Nathan Pacheco comes to perform a wonderful reworking of a great hymn, Amazing Grace, Chains Broken. And until next week, let Him break your chain.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now grace that taught my heart to feel, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains on unending love. Amazing grace. His promise good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, unending love, amazing grace.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries, a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write, and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and this week Dr. Wyatt is offering his book, Global Warning. This book will further highlight just what our Lord has warned us about, that as we esteem the rebellious, celebrate and worship the bizarre, it only leads to destruction. You need to read this book, Global Warning. This week, it is yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.